'Twas the month before a new album, and all throughout Taylor Nation, not a Swiftie could sleep from the anticipation. Easter eggs had been placed by the mastermind herself, while fans pieced together the meanings they held. Friends' profile pics changed, she wore black at every site, but then arrived at the Grammys in head-to-toe white? With Swiftie investigations, dissecting subtext, she had us all fooled that Rep TV would be next. When up on the stage, she started her speech, our jaws dropped to the floor as she announced TTPD. We brushed to our phones, we scoured TikTok for the signs that we missed as we all were in shock. We devoured the track list, tried to predict our top songs. Are they about Travis or Joe? We'll know soon. It won't be long. And so here we are, realizing we're all just puppets as Taylor pulls the strings of her tortured Swifties department. Welcome back, Swifties. I actually can't believe that I'm saying this, but today's guest is actually not a guest. It's actually my co-host, Mac.
Oh, it's good to be back. Oh, wow. It's been so long. It's been actually over a month since we've gotten on the mic together, which is a really long time.
It's a really, really long time, but you have a lot going on. Do you want to give everyone like a quick little update? Obviously, I let everyone know that your baby was born and you were on paternity leave. You're still probably going to be in and out a little this season, which of course makes sense. But I didn't want to share too many details because I wanted you to be able to talk about it.
Do you want me to just go into the story of like a quick overview of how we got? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as I mentioned in every episode of the first season and the second season, I was expecting a new girl, baby girl, and she finally arrived. And, you know, we were not expecting her to arrive on the day that she did. Like, I remember telling Sarah, like, oh, no, like, babies come early in our family because we have one child that was born early. And so I kept saying, like, I'm probably going to be gone on, like, April 7th or something. And I just, that was the day I told Sarah, like, don't expect to hear from me on the pod after this. And then, you know, it just kept getting later and later. And I think around, like, Wednesday of release week, I sent Sarah a message and said, I think this baby's showing up on Tortured Poets Day. and she did. Her name is...
Well, I just have to say, we hadn't really talked much the weeks leading up because you guys were preparing. But yeah. It is 30 minutes before the album drops, and we see that that each of us are on
Instagram.
We have the mm-hmm. green thing, and so we start messaging a little bit, and we're like, "Oh my god, I'm so excited!" Blah blah blah, and you were like, "Okay, doctor called, I gotta go," and I was like, "Oh my god, this baby is going to be born as this album is
true." No, and she did like. It was so funny because we were sitting at home all day and I was like, I guess maybe this baby will show up like after Tortured Poets. And then it was literally 30. I was on Instagram. Yeah. 30 minutes before 9 p.m. Pacific time. Call from the doctor. Go to the hospital. Like, we have a bed for you. You're having a baby.
It's time.
It's time. and I just thought that was comical. Yeah. Because like by the time we get there, I'm like, oh, the album's dropping. Okay. I was not thinking about the album. I mean, I was a little bit, but I wasn't. But it was the duality of a dad, you know? It's like, yeah. Every baby showing up, I'm also a really big Swiftie.
I think it's important. Like, sometimes we forget that parents are real people too, you know?
I think the best part was the 2 a.m. drop of the double album. Now, let me tell you where I was. I think if you haven't had a child before, sometimes when you go to the hospital, like, nothing happens for hours. You're just kind of there. Like, I remember the first... when Ella was, when our first child was being born, we actually FaceTimed you and Adam, like, because we were bored at the hospital.
Yes, sometimes it was awesome. And we were like freaking out when we got the FaceTime because we were like, oh my God, baby's here.
No. We're like, no, we're just bored. sometimes it takes a while to get things going. And so that was happening with this baby. And I remember being on my phone, like, because Jackie was sleeping, as she should be, because a lot of labor is like sleeping until the baby shows up. I don't know.
Oh my God.
Some, if we have parents listening to this, they might like they might understand that exactly. Other people with that are not parents might be like, the fuck is he talking about? So I was just sitting on my phone, like kind of watching Jackie sleep. And all of a sudden, like, it just starts blowing up about like the 2 a.m. edition, like the anthology. And I'm like, Sarah, I literally just put my phone away. I was like,
people texting you?
No one was texting me, but news.
I was going to say, that would be bad. Okay, yeah, the news apps.
And I think I just remember sending you a message being like, oh my fucking God, double album. I put my phone away and I was present until my child was born.
yeah. And then we didn't talk for like a really long time, which like, again, expects it.
Yeah. Just like, that was wild. So yeah, the best part of the story is she's born and we had a name set for her the whole time. She's born and Jackie looks at her and she's like, this is not her name. I can't do it. So then became the game of like, what is this child's name? And you never want to be those parents in the hospital who don't know their child's name because they come to you with paperwork and they're like, fill out her social security form. And we're like, not yet. So actually what happens, we got in a group chat with you and Adam and we're like, all right, we need a name. Help us.
And you know what's funny is like up until that point we were like, don't name her anything Taylor related, and then like once she was born on TTPD day we're like, it's gotta be Taylor.
Yeah.
Well, not her name Taylor, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, she was actually born like on April 19th, like after the album had dropped the night before, but she was born on April 19th and yeah we ended up naming her. So we had picked Scarlett. Which, Sarah, when we texted you the name, we needed help with a middle name. And so when we had texted you and Adam, we had said, oh, Scarlett, we need help with a middle name. You actually said, oh, Scarlett, like maroon. She's so Scarlett, she's maroon. And Jackie and I looked at each other and we're like, oh, we realized that was a Taylor reference. We didn't even put that together because at that point,
like, you're just living. Yeah, you're like brain dead.
You're just delirious, like, because you hadn't slept all night and you're just like, a baby's there and she's screaming at you. Anyways, yeah, and so we were torn between Ivy, because Ivy, the song, and Inez, because, like, Blake Lively's kid, obviously, and it's in Betty, the song. Jackie really wanted Inez, and I think you actually said, like, Inez, why not do a Scarlett? You said it. Yeah, that's
I was like, I really don't want to, like, I really don't want to change history. Like, you guys need to tell your family whatever story you need to tell your family. But I was like, that was definitely what.
I'm so sorry. You know, I have rewritten history and other stories I've told this.
I mean, it's but not yes, my yes, story.
It was your idea. It was your idea. And then, yeah, we debated about Inez for like probably another 12 hours. And then we just were like, yeah, it's Inez.
That was so fun. You guys really liked the I middle name. So it was like that kind of helped narrow things down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we were pretty determined it was going to be a Taylor reference at that point because it's like, come on, TTPD.
Yeah, it's just like the whole thing. Yeah.
I think I remember at one point you thought that Reputation TV was – I can't believe I just said – fine. I think you thought Reputation TV was going to drop at the 2 a.m. thing. And I remember telling you, like, if that happens, I'm logging off for good. Like,
you were like, the podcast is done. Shut it down. If it's RevTV, it's like, oh no.
In a way, I was relieved that it was the anthology because.
Well, yeah, because the songs are amazing. Took you a while to get to it, though. You like just started listening to anthology.
I refused. I refused to listen to it until like I had fully soaked in Tortured Poets Standard Edition. And that took me a very long time to do because with the newborn, like I literally could only listen like if I was walking the stroller to downtown to Starbucks or like in a place where like the baby was sleeping and I was like alone. Cause you can't process that album with like a group of people. It's not possible. No. Well,
you have to do it like by yourself in like a dark room.
Yeah. We did listen to the whole anthology, like 1 to 31 in the car ride. Like this weekend, we went to a beach house that was like an hour and a half away. So we listened to like half of it on the way there and the other half on the way back. And a car ride is really good to listen to that album.
I remember the first time I got behind the wheel of a car after Tortured Poets Department came out, and I was really looking forward to it. I had 30 minutes, so I had to like be really selective with my songs, because I've never even thought about these as two different albums, because like I did listen to the first part, the standard edition, went to sleep, woke up, listened to 2 a.m. And then from then on out, it was just like the whole thing happens together for me. And so like, yeah, the first time I was getting in a car, I was like, oh my God, what songs am I going to pick? And that was the time that I was like, everyone is wrong who says that the people that say you can't listen to this album carefree with the windows down driving hasn't done it. Because you can.
Oh, yeah. You can. You totally can.
It's and honestly, ideal.
Once you listen to the first, once you listen to the whole thing, the first set is, they're like bangers. They it's so different in the anthology. Like, it's great, but it's different that, like, you realize, wow, Tortured Poets Standard Edition is packed. It's like, it is after banger.
People think that it's, like, melancholy. I'm like, it's really not. It's basically 1989.
Yeah, if you want to... It's literally pop superstardom. If you want to feel sad, listen to the anthology. If you want to get pumped up, listen to Standard Edition.
I didn't cry at all until I listened to anthology songs. And that wasn't even the first time. It was like, it took me a couple listens when I was like really listening and I was like reading the lyrics. That's when I started crying. So it was like a couple days.
Yeah. Okay. I actually want to pause and talk about my first time listening to this album. Okay. So...
Buckle up.
I used to be a Swiftie purist. And what I mean by that is like back in 2010 when I was like, you know, 20 and Taylor cried because Mine was leaked. And you know, at that point I was like, leaks are bad. No one should ever listen to leaks. Meow, meow, meow. And I probably held firm on that position through
Midnight's. 2 weeks ago.
In fact, I distinctly remember when Lover was coming out and my friend who doesn't listen to this podcast, and I'm going to name her Soupy,
Wait, she doesn't listen?
So offended. Doesn't like podcasts. She can't sit down. Mm. Like this type of media, long form audio media, is just not her. Yeah, she totally listened to one. That. She listened to our first episode and said, "I love it for you guys, but I'm done."
Bless.
And apparently, she's not like she's not as mentally ill as a Swiftie as we are. So, which shocked me. I thought she was. You know, you learn some things about your friends when you make a pod. so
true.
Right. All right. The point of that story was when Lover was coming out, Subi got advanced copies of Cruel Summer, and I think that I forgot that you existed, and I held firm and said, "No, leaks are bad." So yeah. Swiftie purist through and through, all the way up until the Wednesday before Tortured Poets comes out.
Well, because you were like, I can't, like, I literally don't know when I'm going to listen to this album. Like, you were like pretty nervous about that.
I was convinced that I was never going to get the chance to listen to this album because by Wednesday, we had figured out that like Friday is probably the day, Thursday night's probably the day that we're, having this child, because what they tell you, again, I'm not going to get into too much detail, but like you can actually plan the day for your child if like you weren't getting induced or whatever. So like,
yeah,
we had a date where like the doctor said, we're not going to let you go past this date. And that date was the evening of April 18th. And it takes like 12 hours to have a baby. So like, give or take. And so like, we knew like, okay, the baby was going to be born on April 19th. So I was freaking out saying, oh, I'm never going to listen to this album. But the other half of me was like, shut the fuck up. Like, you're having a child. But okay, it's Wednesday. I'm having a beer at like my local, like at that local burger place I love so much that we always get in fights and when Adam and you are in town. So I'm having a beer there, and then I'm in a Discord that like is for leaks. I found myself there. You know, I didn't search it out. Yes, I did. and someone actually dropped like a link to where you can go listen to the leaks. And I was like, well, I'm not going to not do that at this point. Do you want to know the first song I heard off the album? It wasn't Fortnite.
Wait, so you didn't listen to it in order? The leaks just weren't in order?
No, they weren't in order. No, it was chaos.
So Long London.
No. My first taste And this might be why my favorite song is what it is. But my first taste to this album was Who's Afraid of Little Old Me? So,
Did you pass out?
I closed my tab at the bar and I walked home immediately. And I was just like, this is the greatest thing I've ever heard. I went home to Jackie and I was like, you have to listen to this. And I made her listen to it.
You guys were literally just kind of like sitting and waiting, like waiting to go to the doctor. Like, I get it.
I think at that point I had said to you, like, do you want, I have Who's Afraid of Little Old Me. Do you want it?
Yeah. And I was like really struggling with it. And I, at first I was like, obviously. And then I was like, wait, I'm not ready. And then I was on my way to a work event and I'm at the work event. Everyone's like, hey, how are you? And I was like, I'm good. I'm trying to decide if I should listen to the Taylor leaks or not. And everyone's like, what?
Like, who gives a fuck?
I was like really like in my head about that. And then finally I was like, I want to do it. Like, I had my kind of whole thing planned. Like, I knew that Adam wasn't waiting up. I knew that I was going to do it on my own. I was at work. And so I was like, when I do it, I want to be like in a dark room by myself doing this. And so I was like, no, don't send them to me. So I decided to hold off. But like, I was kind of nervous because we were texting. And this was after you guys knew, like, when you were getting called to go to the doctor. So you guys had a little, like, we were all texting, like, that day. Like, guys had a little more, like, I guess, like, anxiety release. I don't know if it's anxiety. I've never had, but you know what I mean. You just knew when it was happening. So we were talking a little bit more. And I was like, I'm really, really nervous. I'm going to hate this. And you were giving me nothing. And the fact that you were giving me nothing was like freaking me out. And I was like, okay, like the hour before I was like, I'm going to put on 1989 TV. I'm going to listen to the Vault tracks. And I'm going to remind myself that like, there is new music from Taylor that just came out that I love. And I don't have to love every album. Like, it's okay. Some albums are just speak nows, you know? And so, and I'm like, really? Yeah.
Yeah. And you can be critical of Taylor, we learned through Speak Now TV.
Yeah. Everyone really learned. So I'm like, I'm going to be fine. Like, whatever happens, I'm going to be okay. And then it is like 5 minutes before and my heart is racing. Like, I'm like sweating. Like, I'm kind of like I start doing breathing exercises because I was like freaking out. And then clock strikes midnight. I go to Spotify. It's working. Nothing has crashed. And I play the album and I was like, oh my God, thank God.
Oh, I know. When I listened to your and Adam's episode, I really enjoyed your reaction to Torture Poets because I was like, okay, thank God. She likes it. Adam loves it.
Yeah.
Adam and I actually never have the same opinion on Taylor music. And we were aligned almost exactly. Like, it was, I was pretty impressed.
I mean, even me and Adam too, like there's like songs that we tend to overlap on, but like in terms of like the whole thing, like, I don't know. It's like pretty rare that we're like that aligned on things, but that's because I talked about it on the last episode. That's because this album was made for Swifties. And if you love Taylor Swift, you love this. Yeah.
Before we get into more talk about the album, I needed to say something. Thank you so much, Adam, for getting on the mic and giving your thoughts. This is an official petition for Adam to come back every week. So Adam, when you listen to this episode, please come back. I found your commentary hilarious, specifically the news segment where you were rattling off like things that happened in the Taylor community. And Adam just was like, what is Taychella? Like, I also want to say, K-Bass, you literally could be an NPR, like news reporter. Like, your voice I heard you on the pod talking about Taylor Swift, but what I really wanted to hear you say was what's going on in the world today. That's beautiful. Amazing. A little concerned for you that you only like pop hits, from Taylor, and that Folklore Evermore was not your favorite album. But You are a reputation stan, so we will be inviting you back when Rep TV actually does drop, for sure. Yeah. And you're welcome back anytime. but for sure on that episode. Todd. Todd, you lost me at your reaction to Who's Afraid of Little Old Me.
Literally, like, didn't even know what it was called. It was just like that song where she screams. I was like, oh no.
I sat up and I was listening in bed because I was up at 3 a.m. and when it dropped my time. And so I just like, oh, I'll play on the episode. I'm not on. I sat up in bed and I was like Swifty activated angry. Like, who has the audacity to have that opinion about that song? And I'm like, I've been listening to your episodes since I left. And I'm like, where is the love for Who's Afraid of Little Old Me and But Daddy, I Love Him? Where is it? It's not happening.
Yeah.
It's here today. Everyone rest assured. I'm here to give those songs justice later.
Yeah.
Later
in this I'll episode. Talk about them. I'll say now that I love them, but I would like, well, we can talk about them more like when we get there. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, thank you for coming on the pod. I actually think we should rebrand this pod as like Sarah and Friends.
The way that we rebrand all the time.
Sorry, I'm pouring coffee because it's 4:40 a.m. at my time. I'm getting worked up about thinking about Todd and Who's Afraid of Little Me. Yeah, I love how we rebrand as like, this is a pod for Swifties. And then we drop a few episodes and we're like, no, this is a Millennial Swifties pod. And now we're like, actually, it's a Sarah and Friends pod.
I love rebranding. No, it's a really, really fun season, but I'm happy to be back with you for at least a week because, like, I couldn't, like, get there, you know, on, like, with everyone else. Like, I was like, wow, listening back to these episodes, I sound like a normal person. I think that all of the guests will disagree. They probably all don't think that I sound like a normal person. But for the level that I could have gotten, I really, really held it together.
Speaking of that, I want to hear what happened to you this morning when you woke up.
Okay.
For those that don't know, all I got was like this weird, like, you know, I woke up and I was like, okay, I'm ready for the pod. It's 4 a.m. my time. Like, I'm getting coffee. I'm ready for the pod. And all I got back from Sarah was like, I had the most insane epiphany about Maddie and Harry Styles. I'm like, okay, I can't. Like, give me a minute. So, Sarah, what's going on?
Okay. I know. I was like, we're talking about this too early, but it's literally pouring out of me. Like, I need to get it out. Okay. Just, like, some context. So, like, obviously, over the last couple of how long has this album been out? Not even a week and a half.
I don't even know.
Because it feels like it's been 6 years.
It's as old as my daughter, so 10 days.
So for the last 10 days, it's a lot of like, wow, we didn't realize what a significant role Maddie Healy played in her life. People are figuring out a lot of things of like the context of their relationship over the last decade, particularly when it started. So there's a lot of discussion around like what songs are about Maddie Healy from the past that we like maybe never couldn't like nail down. I was kind of thinking like, wow, maybe everything that we thought was so Karlie Kloss coded is actually Maddie Healy coded. Like, I don't know. Like in my mind, I was like, well, maybe Maroon is about him. Like, I don't. And I think it is. But like, I was just like, because the thing that never made sense in Maroon was about the roommate situation. But anyway, none of this matters because
now
we're not here to talk.
Sense. Now no, it we will talk about that later. We have a whole episode planned on like looking back through the discography, what's Maddie coded, what's not. Okay, go on.
But like I had something happen to me this morning that like I need to talk about, and I will be taking it to TikTok today too, so don't worry. oh my God, my heart's like pounding. Okay. Ugh, all right. I'm just going to walk you through what was going on in my head. I was literally doing my hair at 6 a.m. Okay.
Get ready with me while I tell you about hairstyles. That's your TikTok video.
So something that I referenced last episode with Caitlin and Todd was that people have me convinced that style is about Harry Styles and Maddie Healy.
Wait, do you finally have the time to tell this story? Like you didn't have the time for Todd.
I didn't have the time. And honestly, I don't even have all of the facts, but I'm going to reference a couple of them. Please go on TikTok you can go on TikTok, you can go on Twitter. I think that I referenced at 1989 Healy, who like was the first one that introduced this concept to me on Twitter. But people are freaking out because when the Fortnite music video dropped, the profile of the papers that her and Post Malone are laying in matches the profile of the Style music video. And that was the first thing that gave everyone pause. And then when I went to Twitter to further investigate, people were like, I have this theory that it's about both Harry and Maddie. A lot of it has to do with the Tumblr post that she liked with like pictures of Maddie Healy and like white t-shirts. And it's like, you've got that slick back.
She liked those?
Yeah. She liked Tumblr posts of Maddie Healy where people were like, quote, like saying like slicked back hair, white no, t-shirt or like whatever.
No, no.
So that happened. The duality, there's this, that's a very important word in what I am about to share right now. Okay. The like duality. So the actor that played that was in the music video in Style famously has one green eye and one blue eye. One of them has blue eyes, the Harry or Maddie, one of them has blue eyes, one of them has green eyes. So people think that that's like very representative of like, this is about both of them. So that's just like really, really been on my mind because all we know is that Maddie and Taylor had a fling or dated or whatever it was. They started this situationship after 1989 dropped.
Right, right. That's what people know, right? Like the documented evidence is like her at the 1975 concert, him wearing the 1989 t-shirt.
Yeah.
And that was all after 1989
all
dropped.
All after. So there's like, this has always stayed with me because I'm like, something is not making sense. Okay. Then we have to talk about Question from Midnight. So Midnight. So something that we've talked about in these last 10 days, Dumois came out with a podcast that she kind of goes through like all of these like tips and blind items that she's gotten over the last several years about Travis, about Joe, about Maddie, all within the Taylor Cinematic Universe. And like, she goes through it all in one place and it's really, really helpful. And it like gives a lot of context. It's information we probably all had access to before this, but I was like hearing it all together was important. Go on.
Yeah. And Dumont, I'm shocked that they still spend time doing like blind items on Taylor after Tree Payne attacked them last year. Like, do you remember that episode? Like,
yeah,
they're brave. Like I applaud them, but also
they're doing God's work. There is, I have complicated feelings about it. I do. I really do. Now that I don't have the time to get into, but there are moments I'm grateful for it.
Okay, keep going. I'm going to
okay. Okay, so Dumois puts out one of these blind items that she got in a email or DM or something about like when the Taylor and Maddie Healy thing started in the 1989 era, the original one, not TV, and how they were all at this party and Taylor kissed him, just grabbed him and kissed him in front of everyone. So I hear this and I'm like, question is about Maddie Healy. We all thought that it was about Harry and it's about Maddie Healy. And I'm like, okay, go ahead.
That was when, the second I listened to the Torture Poets Department like three times to finally figure out the fuck she was saying, I was like, oh, questions about Maddie Healy. We were all like, I didn't need Dumois to like spell it out for me. Like, you could just,
you knew.
The energy. Also, Joe, where the fuck were you when Midnights was being made and released? Like, I'm like, Question was a direct like attack on Joe. And he had. What?
I don't know. I don't know what that guy's deal is.
We're going back to it.
Okay. But again, something still did not make sense to me because Question starts with I remember, and it has always connected back to Out of the Woods, which we know is about Harry because of the paper airplane necklace and the snowmobile accident. If it was just the paper airplanes, it's like, okay, maybe she was red herring us, like she likes to do that. But the snowmobile accident we know was Harry. So I'm like, something is still not making sense. until this morning. Okay.
I'm ready.
Remember that theme of duality I talked about a minute ago?
Yep, yep.
I need you to take yourself back to the Out of the Woods music video. Dueling Taylors. One is like grimy, out of the woods, and then we have the clean, nice, pretty Taylor. A lot of Gaylers like to think that that was representative of Diana Agron, which is also really important because all around the same time that Taylor and Diana started hanging out, Maddie Healy's at all those parties. They're all like, they're all like in the same crew, yeah, whatever that was happening around that time. Yeah.
I was also shocked to find that Maddie was at the same event Taylor was at when she met Calvin Harris. That they were together. They were hanging out together when she met Calvin Harris. Did you know that?
No. And now that's kind of sending me into a tailspin, but I got to finish this one.
Okay.
Because now I'm like getaway car. Okay. So what if one of these Taylors in the woods represents her with Harry in the woods, and then the other represents what if, right? I'm addicted. I'm afflicted by the, what is she saying? What is she saying, Black Dog? I'm afflicted by the not knowing. I'm addicted to the what could be or what if. That's the lyric. So one represents what could be, this clean version of Taylor. So her and Diana Agron are hanging out all around this time. The same thing with Maddie Healy, excuse me. We don't know exactly when everything started. All we know is what we have publicly is that it was after 1989. What if she had her sights set on him, right? They're in the same crew. She has her sights set on this guy. Clearly, what she had with Maddie was like an obsession. I don't mean that like negatively. I think that we've all kind of had that.
He's a songwriter. She's a songwriter. They're both confessional. Like, I think they're very similar, like, yes. Soul, like, musically.
They're twin flames. Twin flames. She has her sights set. The obsession starts. She finds a way in. She's, as we know, Taylor gets over people by dating somebody else. Okay, the pattern has repeated itself. She has
she calls it the miracle move on drug. Yes.
Yes, the miracle move on drug. She lays the ground. She knows this is what could be. She lays the groundwork. And then she gets him. Mastermind. So all of this is to say, I think that this through line of what's happening in Style, what's happening in Question, what's happening in Out of the Woods, I think that the Dueling Taylors, one is getting out of the woods with Harry, and one is maybe it's not Maddie all the time, but it was at that time. It's the invisible string through all the music.
Wow. What a journey. Thank you for sharing it with us.
I feel like you're not as convinced as I am.
No, I was convinced whenever you sent me the original TikTok, I was convinced then. All I could think of the last 20 seconds was like, this is mental illness on display for everyone to watch. Like, the way you have put on your investigative journalist hat and just like totally lost it this morning, I am so proud of you.
It makes sense. It finally all connects.
Yeah, she's a mastermind. No, I get it. That looked like, I believe you, and I'm there. I'm already there, but like, I need time to process what you just shared with me.
Like, what were the Dueling Taylors? Like, we never knew what those were.
Yeah, you're right. I just like forget about the Out of the Woods music video because it was such a dud.
Oh my God, when literally the answers were there the entire time.
I do think the mastermind connection is pretty good. And the Question connection and the... She did make it a little too obvious with like the Fortnite music video. Like, she was telling us, hey guys, Style's actually about Maddie and Harry. I don't know. But I'm just like, I really couldn't focus on what you were saying towards the end there. Because like, watching you lose it was... just a lot for me to process. So I'm going to have to, we're going to publish this episode. I'm going to listen to your words.
Okay.
Then I'll respond.
Oh my God.
I couldn't like active listen.
Oh my God.
I would like you to just post a reel of you like in deep into that thread.
I am.
Like, just like.
Get your tinfoil hats on, people, because I am.
Oh, wow. So what else do you want to talk about? Because I could talk about torture poets all day. I haven't actually been able to speak about torture poets since 10 days. So.
All right. We need to talk about the album, but let's talk about what we're now looking at as depression news. There's like a few things that we have to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah.
News outside of album, but around album release.
Okay. Yeah. What do we got?
Okay. Tortured Poets is clearly being added to the Eras Tour. So what I'd like to know, Mac, is what city do you plan on buying tickets to? Miami.
It's probably going to be Vancouver. Honestly, like, what's closest to me and where would my mental state be when she's there? Like I'm not well for May 9th when she goes to Paris. I'm just like, I saw her post those YouTube shorts, which
just,
I'm not a Swiftie who's mad at her. I'm not mad at her for adding torture poets. I'm just like, I'm overwhelmed by the idea of knowing I will be on a live stream on May 9th. Like wherever I am when that comes, I will be like, cause now I'm like, I'm not getting better. Like it's just getting worse and worse. You know, there was Rep TV Mac and now there's Torture Poets Anthology Mac. And now there's like, oh, by the way, Torture Poets Eras Tour. And we already know what we're like with the Eras Tour. And I'm like, oh God, I've been like ruminating on like, where is she going to put it? And I'm convinced myself it's between 1989 and the surprise song set. Like I've convinced myself that's where it is. I don't even care if it's not
1989 there. Tortured Poets Department surprise songs.
Yes. Yes.
And then think she's going to open with Who's Afraid of Little Old Me?
Oh my God. Wow. No, I really never thought she would touch Cruel Summer, Miss Americana opening. Cause that's just like, that's God's work, actually. If she did open with Who's Afraid of Little Old Me, I'm getting my ass on a flight to Paris for night two. Like I I don't care how old I'm bringing Scarlett. I don't care how old she is. We're getting on the flight.
You will literally be, it'll be May 9th. The concert starts. She opens with it. I'm buying a flight for May 10th.
I'm not afraid to drag an infant to a Taylor concert city. Like, look what we did with Ella in March of last year. Like I can do it. Like I can.
Totally. Totally.
Okay, I'm going to get back to your thoughts on if she opens with Who's the Fairy Little Old Me, but I actually went on Twitter and I said what I thought my set list was. Let me pull that up. Because I do think this is a set list and it does not open with Who's Afraid of Little Old Me. But while I'm doing that, why don't you tell me your reactions to that? Where were you when you heard about that news?
No, yeah, the YouTube shorts are like actually driving me into further and further madness. I'm like, what is lilac? What does lilac mean?
Like, I don't even know why. Like when you said lilac to me in the OneNotes or something, I was like, what do you mean lilac? Like that's something I've actually checked out apparently from the Taylor Cinematic Universe the last 10 days. So what is lilac?
So basically she in I Want to Get You Back, it starts with lilac short skirt or whatever.
Oh.
And then in her YouTube shorts, she's wearing the lilac skirt. And then she also has lilac nails. And so we're like, what is going on with this?
She needs to stop. Okay, guys, I'm pouring coffee again because, again, it's like 5 a.m.
No,
okay, here's
I know.
My dream. Oh, yeah. Here's my dream set list. It was after 1989, before acoustic. She starts with Fortnite. There's no way she's not starting with Fortnite.
Fortnite's so good.
Yeah. Fortnite into Down Bad. That's
That's awesome.
Fortnite into Down Bad. And then But Daddy, I Love Him. all 5 minutes, 40 seconds of it. Because she has to play. She has to get on stage and tell us to shut the fuck up.
Yeah. I know. I love it.
Then it goes into Who's Afraid of Little Old Me? Because, you know, just keep the crowd going. Get him higher and then close with I Can Do It with a Broken Heart. That's the
setlist. You think she's going to do I Can Do It with a Broken Heart?
It is the most fun song on the goddamn album. Of course she has. It's like made for the Eras. It was recorded at the Eras Tour, probably. Like, it is. If she doesn't do it, I missed opportunity. You know, that's the only song. I think I told you this is the only song that my toddler wants to hear. Like,
it's the best song.
For like the last 2 years, it's been high. I want the high song, high song. And high song is Antihero. It's me high. She only thinks she calls it the high song. It's adorable. But we're tired of listening to Antihero at this point.
Yeah.
When we played the album, like we played it at the beach house we were staying last week. And she literally like was jumping up and down, dancing to this one song. And she was so excited. And then when I tried to play the next song, which is a very sad, downbeaten song called The Smallest Man Who's Ever Lived, Ella goes, no, happy. She calls I Can Do It With a Broken Heart the happy song because it makes her feel happy. I looked at the lyrics. Taylor doesn't say happy anywhere in there. But in my toddler's mind, it's like, that's the happy song because it's the only happy song. And it's not happy. It is depressing. But
it's the best one.
Yeah. So she has to close with that. What do you think she's going to do?
No, I think I Can Do It With a Broken Heart makes sense. I'm almost wondering like if she can do it. I think she's going to cut some stuff from Lover. And I think she should.
Cut Lover and The Archer.
Honestly, like, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry to anyone who is going to disagree with me on this. I genuinely think that the only thing that we need from Lover is Cruel Summer. Like, in that concert. Like, when, like, I really feel that way.
It would be funny if she does open with Cruel Summer, Miss Americana, goes into The Man, and then uses the desk setup from The Man to switch into Torture Poets.
That would make a lot of sense. And it would be funny.
Oh, I'm not, like, and honestly, no one cares about...
Cut Shake It Off.
Stop it. Shut up. Wait.
I'm literally like cut every era.
Just do a 31 song anthology. Wait, what if she like cuts, what if she adds back in me just to like...
No, just... then I'm getting on that flight to Paris.
Sarah will enter her credit card debt era. And I'll be like, welcome to the club. It's fine over here. Okay. Oh, wow. What else is in depression news?
Potentially a third album on May 5th.
I forgot. Oh, my God. Yeah, actually.
Or May 3rd? Is it May 3rd or May 5th?
I think it's next Friday. Or is it this Friday? When will it be 2 weeks from the album? Again, what is time?
This Friday.
Oh.
So this Friday, I'm going to be traveling. And on May 9th, I'm also going to be traveling. So things are going to get bad for me. As if they weren't already. Worse than what you're hearing now.
If she drops a third album, it's just like mercy at that point. Leave me alone.
I feel the same way. I feel the same way.
And it's not even that. I don't agree with anyone's takes on this album at all. Like, I don't agree that she needs an editor. Like, I want Taylor to tell me all of her messy thoughts at all times. I don't care if it's like a bad... I don't give a shit. I want to hear everything she has to say. But if she drops a third album, I'm going to just like throw
my... If she drops a third album, I'm giving it all up and I'm living out of a van in the middle of the woods. Like, I don't... It's over for me.
Yeah. I can't let myself think that there's a third album. I think when I did, I think I went on like a rant on Twitter and then just like said, go home, go to bed, go hold your child.
Yeah. We're getting into like severe, like Rep TV.
if it's Rep TV, I want it so bad that I don't know. I can't even get myself there. People think it might be a book, and that's That's not going to happen.
That wouldn't.
It's not happening.
That would do nothing to me.
Like, I'm sorry. I've read Taylor's poems. Like, they're not.
They're not novels.
Like, do you remember the Reputation poems that she wrote? Like,
yes. Like, yeah.
No, thanks. I'm here for the music, not the written word. I do think it's something's happening. Like, they've done too many three weird shit that, like especially the typewriter with a three on it.
I know.
And after hearing My Boy Only Breaks His Favorite Toys, I'm like, that's not a single. So it's something other than that. So I don't know what three means. I just know I'm afraid of it, and I don't know what I'm going to do when it happens.
I'm looking forward to getting outside and touching grass after we record those. I'm like,
wait till we dive into the anthology later in this episode. That's what I'm going to be like. Okay, I'm logging off and I'm going to go wake up my toddler. I'm going to go live my day.
Hopefully it's just like a music video that we don't care about.
Oh, that'd be lame. But that would be on brand.
It would be, but it would be on brand, and it would also like spare the world.
Talk about bait and switch. That stupid manifest post that she did where it was just like 2 days of promo, like the album drops and then record store day, which I don't even know what record store day had at that point. Like, she never made like an announcement. Like,
right. Because like the only thing that started happening was like the Target ad for Phantom Vinyl.
Which is everywhere. I can't, like, you can't watch YouTube without like that stupid ad popping up.
I know.
But it's made Fortnite stuck in my head.
Why don't we talk about, I want to talk about our top fives.
Okay.
But I also want to talk about our top five bridges.
So did you actually do the homework to figure out what your top five bridges are? Because I started doing that last night, and I had to put my phone down and be like, they're all amazing, I can't do it.
Okay, I did do the homework.
This is like the episode you have with Todd and K-Bass, because I was listening to that and I was like, well, Sarah came really prepared to talk about her song, and these two are just like riffing it. Like, they clearly didn't even like read the lyric book.
Wait, you know what though? That reminds me, you made a really, really good point about this album. You said that, well, I kind of want you to make it, I don't want to ruin it, the reading.
Just like remind me what point I was making, because there's been a lot.
All right, I'm just going to give it. It's like you, like this album was meant to be read.
Oh, yeah.
You have to read it.
You have to be literate, and you have to be a reader, and you have to like dissecting Taylor's lyrics. If those three things don't align for you, like it's not for you.
I mean, I do think that you can enjoy this music without dissecting her lyrics in her life. You know what I mean? Like, I think that these lyrics are super meaningful to people in their lives. Like, I'm like looking at our outline right now. We have this written down. Like, in so many ways, this is the most relatable album.
It really
that
is.
That she's actually ever created, like, because of the human emotion.
Yeah. I think it doesn't relate to my life now at all, but I do feel in ways that like she's telling a story that like many people have lived, and it's like,
yes,
like, and she's been telling and to your crazy thoughts earlier in the pod, she's been telling the damn story since 1989 and we didn't know. Like,
yeah. But I think like that's it for a lot of people. Like, I think like, I can do it with, I talked about this last episode, like, I think I can do it with a broken heart sums it all up. Like, it's not even just the breakup. Or a breakup. It's just like when you're at your lowest, mm-hmm, and what pours out of you, like, yep, that's what I think people are connecting to, the ones that are connecting.
Yeah. Well, and my thoughts are like, there's something for everyone on this album if you really listen to it. Like, I think I told you I found myself crying in the streets of where I live to The Prophecy. And I'm like, why am I so sad about this? I wanted to give Taylor a hug. I was like, wow, like, I don't relate to this like feeling she's having of like being 33 and not finding like my person forever, and like just being totally afraid that like I'm never gonna find that person. Like, I don't relate to that story. That's not my truth. But like, I felt bad for her. And I know a lot of people in my life who are in that same situation, and they're wondering like, God, like, am I going to find someone? Like, is it too late for me? And like, Taylor's telling us that. And who can listen to The Prophecy and not like realize that this was the most amazing album of all time? Like, it is, it's gut wrenching. The other one, I found myself just like losing it, like just mentally ill losing it, which no one else is. Like, it's just me. I'm convinced it's just me on this planet. But Robin, her talking to Aaron Dessner's child about like we're going to keep your innocence as long as we can, like, you know, and like people who don't have a toddler or like, or it doesn't matter what age you're, people aren't like, I think you can relate to it in different ways. Like, I think you said, you said like, oh, Taylor's healing her inner child. And that's what I think about that song. Like, and I was like, oh, that's a good take. Me, I'm just like crying because I'm like, oh my God. Yeah, you're right. We have to protect our children. Like, and like Taylor was a child star and like, you know, her innocence was ruined much earlier than she probably wanted it to be. So that one gets me. The whole anthology actually just sends me down rabbit holes.
Yeah, the anthology is like really intense, but like in the best way. The Bolter makes me cry. And it's like that same thing that you were saying about like The Prophecy. Like, it's not like I don't necessarily relate to the story, but I relate to the feeling. Like, I can relate to the feeling of looking at your life and, oh, it's happening again, or like connecting themes of your adult life to themes of your like your adolescence, like all of this, like I can relate to that feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. Or even like, how did it end? Like, come one, come all, it's happening again. Like that line, I was like, wow, Taylor, she cooked us. Cause like, yeah, we all kind of like when she does have a breakup, we're all like, you know, oh, what happened? How did it end? How did it end? Like we're dying for the information. But then like related outside Taylor, like that happens to people. Like you're in a relationship and then you break up and everyone wants to know, how did it end? And I'm like, Taylor, what a great song. Like to get.
It's so good.
So many people can relate. And it's like those who are saying the anthology it's boring and slow. It's like, well, it's not for you. You have to learn to read. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, get comprehension skills. Like,
The Black Dog is so good. The Black Dog is...
Wow.
That is like the second that she talked about stalking her ex-boyfriend on Find My Friends, I was like, oh, I'm going to like...
I stalk my friends on Find My Friends.
Like, me too. Me too. That song is so me-coded.
Whenever Adam is in New York City, I think we will be like, hey, Adam, what's going on? Like, you should be up with our friend who also lives in New York City. Like, we are all stalking each other too
much. We all stalk each other. I remember there was like a day, it was like the first day I'd ever left the house after COVID. And I think I was at Home Goods and I was there for like a really long time because I was like living finally. I was like, oh my God, yes. And I remember you and Jackie took a screenshot of our Find My Friend bubbles being so far apart. And you screenshot and you texted to us, you go, what's going on? Is everything okay? I was like, I'm just at Home Goods.
That's when you know if like friendships have like crossed the line and we're all just like, why are you there? What's going on?
the line about like burn all of my clothes and hire a priest to come and exorcise my demons.
Oh yeah. Great bridge. I actually looked at that. I was doing the homework last night and I looked at that bridge and I was like, most of these songs, I actually couldn't like pick the bridge because it's like the whole song is amazing. Like, But Daddy, I Love Him, I looked at the bridge. I'm like, yes, but the entire song is like a bridge to me. Like,
yeah. Well, some of them, it's like, it's so interesting, right? Because I'm like, the end of Fortnite is like truly my favorite thing ever.
Oh, yeah.
But crap. I'm like, is that a bridge? I don't know that technically it is.
It's just like, move to Florida, get the car you want.
I was going to say the Florida bridge I like.
Yeah.
I like the Florida one. I'm Gonna Get You Back is like maybe the best one. But then a song that is, I like it, but it's not on my Can't Live Without list until the bridge is My Boy Only Breaks His Favorite Toys.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's like the song isn't that good until the bridge. It's good, but It's not the best song on the album.
It's not the best song on the album. It's No Cruel Summer. It Can't Even Hold a Candle. And then we get the bridge. And to me, I'm like, listening to this whole song is worth it to get to that.
I feel the exact same way you feel about that song with Smallest Man Who Ever Lived. Because I feel like it's like a slow, okay. And then all of a sudden, Were You Sent by Someone Who Wanted Me Dead? I'm like, whoa. Swiftly activated. And the whole bridge, because Jack changes up the tempo, and then she goes into like just like massacring. Like he's dead. He is not alive after that song. You said normal girls were boring, but you were gone in the morning. It's like, wow, Taylor, you're just like,
that is so every guy anyone's ever dated under the age of 30.
Yeah, because it wasn't sexy once it wasn't forbidden, and I'm like, yeah. She got him.
She got him good. She got us all. She got him. All right. What's your top five of the album?
Yeah. Let me pull up my notes. It really hasn't changed much since the first time I listened, which is surprising.
Mine has.
Although I'm not really including the anthology. Because again, the anthology to me, it's like, it makes me feel all these feelings. I can't put them, I can't rank order them yet. So I'm just going to give you my top five from like, The Torture Poets.
Okay, Sandwich. That's cheating, but it's fine because you just had a baby.
Number one, But Daddy, I Love Him. I just live for Taylor just telling us to shut the fuck up. Just like her being like, when it clicked for me that she was yelling at us, I was like, whoa, thank you. All right. And I want to say, I have been on record on this podcast multiple times saying that the Speak Up Now campaign was fucking dumb, and I was right.
I just want to say my one thing on But Daddy, I love the song. It's in my Can't Live Without. It's not in my top five, but it's in my Can't Live Without. But that's because my top five includes anthology. But a lot of people are speculating what But Daddy, I Love Him is about, who it's about. I think it's about all of them.
All of them. I think it's all of them. Yeah, it's all of them. It's got Joe. There's pieces of Joe's, pieces of Maddie. And even the very last part, I think it's about Travis. Like
Travis.
The very last part.
It's the whole thing. Yeah. Even it's my like, daddy you know, just loves it. Yeah.
It's like, we are daddy. We, the people, daddy.
Yeah.
And she's sick of us. And I'm proud of her. So the next one, number two, is, and this is just not changed. These are my top two. Who's Afraid of Little Old Me? Todd. Who's Afraid of Little
Old Me? Todd. Todd.
Who's Afraid? When she screams, I actually rise from the dead. Like, a part of me dies and I rise. Like, when she screams, Who's Afraid of? I can't even pinpoint, like, what, besides the fans and the media, this song is about. But, like, I know she's going to be on tour and somehow her teeth are going to come out because like they took it out of her teeth.
Ew, stop. Like, no, Taylor would never let herself be ugly in front of people ever.
It's true. That bridge too is amazing. Okay. As I'm looking at the rest of this list, I guess it has changed, but I'm just going to commit to what I have here. The Black Dog is number three.
That's anthology.
I know. But when I got the leaks, it included Black Dog. So I had time with Black Dog that I wouldn't have had.
Did one get kicked out?
Fresh Out the Slammer was one I didn't have in like the link to the leaks. So, but I did have the Black Dog. And when I heard the Black Dog, I was like, there's something in here that's like amazing. This one was not my top five until after I listened to it, and it's actually in my, like, I woke up this morning. I woke up this morning with the song stuck in my head. Like,
I'm so sorry. I'm just laughing at this. Wasn't in my top five until I listened to it.
You know what I mean? Okay. You know what I mean? Guilty as sin. There is something in that song because at first listen, you're like slow, good. Like, I don't know. It doesn't like have this, like, I was waiting for it to like explode. It never did. It was just like this steady, good beat. And now though, like that steady, good beat, I literally woke up this morning. I was like, he's got mine written on my upper thigh. And I'm like, why is that song about it? I love it. I love the fact that like Taylor was with Joe and she basically wrote like a masturbation song about Maddie Healy. Like, I just like, it's so funny to me.
It is such a good song. It was in my top from the very beginning. I literally cannot believe how long it took for people to... I'm saying how long it took. It's literally only been 10 days, and it took everyone like 2 days to get there. But I was with it from
It was
day
a long
one.
Time. You were there from day one, and I was like,
I was
what?
There from day... I'm the only one. I'm the only one that was there from day one.
Yeah. When we shared our notepad with each other after you had finally listened to it, and I saw Guilty as Sin was so high, I was like, well, she's ill. Like,
there's a couple days ago, Adam like comes into the room that I'm in, and he was like, listen, I can admit when I'm wrong. And I was like, what's going on? And he's like, Guilty as Sin is so good. And I was like, yeah, it's a top five. Yeah,
you're a Guilty as Sin truther, and we're all just fools for not knowing it. Rounding out my top five is I Can Do It With a Broken Heart. Because, like, I was surprised it wasn't in my top five at first listen, but it got, again, I don't know what I was doing on my first time listening.
Well, again, the first time you were listening, you were, like, also anticipating it. Like a new human child, yeah. Like doubling your family. So
I do want to say what my skips are real quick before
oh, yeah,
we
yeah,
do
yeah,
yours.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cause I've got three consistent skips. Like,
okay.
I have 31. I think that's great. Like three. That's not bad.
Okay.
I Can Fix Him. No, Really I Can. I never go back.
Same,
to
same, same.
Yeah. Because shame on you, Taylor, Allison Swift, for making a 2-minute, 20-second song and have it not be a bop. Like, why is this so slow, sad, boring? Like, I can also, God, the title, I Can Fix Him, No, Really, I Can, had so much potential. Like,
I thought that was going to be like, oh my God, the background why? On your screen is
it because
fireworks?
I did this?
Like,
so okay. Distracting.
Anyway.
So yeah, I'm so mad at her for that. Okay, the correct. Other two I just skip every time are Cassandra and Peter. So
okay, so I'm with you on Cassandra, but I don't skip Peter. But Peter was made for the girlies. It's just like no offense, but it was like made for the girlies. Like if you are a straight woman that dates men, or if you are just any woman that dates men, you understand Peter.
You heard it here first. Mm-hmm. It's for the straight females. just looking though at like the track list of the anthology, like it's literally a perfect track list until you get to Cassandra. Like there is nothing wrong with this. Like, and then you get Cassandra and you're like, get out of here.
You know what other song on anthology I really relate to in terms of being a quote deranged weirdo? I Look Through People's Windows.
I knew you were going to say it. Yeah. What a cool concept for Taylor to be like, I stalk you guys on Instagram and that's like my window.
Yes. It's like literally, I know. It's so good. It's such a good concept for a song. I'm like shocked. I've never thought to do it before.
Do you agree with we're going to get to your top five, but like now we're just talking about the album. Okay. Do you agree?
I've done my top five already.
Yeah, I've heard it twice. It's changed.
It's changed.
I can't wait to see what it is today. Do you agree with the commentary around Thank You, Amy, that like people are saying like she needs to get over it or like any of that stuff?
No. The commentary that I agree with is it's not about Kim Kardashian.
Whoa. Oh, yeah. Okay. What?
It's not about Kim. It's not about Kim. She's not... Mm-hmm. She doesn't do that. And if I've learned anything since 6 a.m. this morning, thinking about Style and Question and Out of the Woods, she's not, it's not about Kim.
Okay. Who's it about?
I don't know. Only Amy knows.
I'm pouring more coffee.
The lyric, so I changed your name and any real defining clues doesn't make any sense because the name is in there and all of the clues are defining. So
yeah, but the but your
Mac,
kid's gonna be
Mac. It's not about Kim.
But the line
Mac. It's not about Kim.
All right. Well, you're clearly taking a stand. It's not about Kim.
What line? What line? The thing about her kids? A lot of people have kids.
No, but like her kid has posted like a reel or a TikTok dancing to Taylor's music before. And so like, it's clearly like a tie back to that.
Sure. I'm sure a lot of them have.
It wouldn't make any sense if it wasn't Kim. Like the whole story is about her like It is clearly about
Mac.
Him.
I want you to think about where you were a year ago. And if somebody said to you, style is not about Harry Styles.
Yeah. Sarah, I'm not the one who is delusionally praying for style featuring style on every episode of this podcast.
Listen, it's not about him. Okay. It's not. She's too in on the joke. She's too in.
It's, you're so wrong. I can't even respond to you. I'm just like, all right, delusional Sarah. Like I, but fine. You know what? We'll never know either. Like this is just one of those things we'll never know.
We'll find out. Like, we'll find out in Ref TV vaults. We'll find out.
My thing with if it is about Kim is I just love the fact that every album since Reputation has had a fuck you Kim Kardashian song in it. And I, at this point, it's camp, it's tradition, it's Swiftie lore. And I need her to just always have a fuck you Kim Kardashian song on every new album. Just like,
what's the one from Midnights?
Oh, I mean, Vigilante. No, that's Scooter. Karma. I mean, Karma is like about all of them. It's like all of you fuckers, Karma. Like,
yeah,
I think that's,
okay. I think what you're saying. Yeah. I don't think your theory is as soundproof as you thought it was.
It's okay.
Why is it on the album? Why is it on the album? No, seriously, tell me, why is it on this album? Just to tell us that Rep TV is next, that's it.
No, because she hates Kim Kardashian and
but
like,
why is it on this? Why is it on this album? Why is it on
she
this
can't,
cause, album?
Cause she can't help herself. It's on every album. She needs to get off her chest. I mean, there's a world where the Amy could be a real person that like it's Joe's. Like there's a, I think someone sent me like a reel about like Joe who he dated like after Taylor. Her name was Amy because she was like a co-star. I non verified.
Yeah, I don't think that Joe cheated on Taylor or anything like that. I think it's possible that Joe maybe had his own Maddie Healy, was Maddie Healy to somebody else. Like, yeah, there's all
and,
of that.
And her name is Amy.
Maybe.
Sure. I do think after listening to this album that, like, Taylor broke up with Joe. That's clear. She was
clear.
Like, I'm clear. Getting my Louis Vuitton boots on, and I'm going to do the Eras Tour, and you're not holding me back. I think
by the way, it's not Louis Vuitton boots. It's Louboutin. They're two different brands.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but that's okay. I wouldn't expect you to know that. I just think it's important that you do.
Okay. I just know they're boots. They're really high-heeled boots. Are they?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're not the same. They're not the same. Yeah.
Wow. It's tough being a woman.
It's just like really clear that you don't watch Housewives, and that's fine. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So what are your top five?
Okay. My top five really haven't changed from last time. Fortnite is so good. I love it. I love it. I love it. When Post Malone comes on and sings, that's like, I am like,
yeah, yeah.
The way that Post Malone's about to be my top artist of the year on Spotify is so crazy.
Have you realized that there are a lot of Post Malone songs that you like that you didn't know were Post Malone? That
yes.
Happened to me.
I'm learning that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he's having the year, like the Super Bowl. He was on Beyonce's album. He's on Taylor's album. Now he's on Morgan Wallen's or like whatever that's going to be. I Can Do It With a Broken Heart. Clearly. Yeah, obviously. Classic. Guilty as Sin. Obviously. Yeah. Sorry, I just dropped my phone. Black Dog.
Wow. We're more aligned than I thought. Okay.
And The Bolter.
Yeah, I knew the Bolter was on your list last week. I figured it's
yeah,
so,
that's
yeah.
Just the same
like,
exact
it's a,
list.
It's
as
a good
last
song.
Week.
It's a great song. I like the Bolter. Yeah. It's got good beat.
It's
yeah.
So good. It's so good. Okay.
Fortnite is like crack, right? Right? Like it's like the first time you listen to it, you're like, that's not what I was expecting, but I like it. And then and then the Target commercial like incepts your brain and it's like everything is that beat now. It's like
yeah. I also my skips are the exact same as you, except I do listen to Peter. I sometimes skip So Long London. Sorry.
Is it because the beginning is too weird?
No, like, it's not that I don't like the song. It's just kind of like, oh, I understand. I got the story and now I'm done.
Yeah. There is something like sad about her being with Joe for 6 years and then wasting all her like quote unquote youth on him.
No, of course. Of course it's like, sad.
I I do feel like, do you feel this way too? I do feel like we got all we needed out of like knowing about the breakup from You're Losing Me from Midnights.
Yes.
Like, I think that, so, and it makes sense that like we don't have as much Joe on this album because it's like she said what she needed to say and then she did a couple songs here and then the rest was about Maddie Healy. Also, the best the best dig you can do on someone is date them for 6 years, be known for doing breakup albums, and then have your big breakup album be about your situationship that you had after the band of 6 years.
I know. It's like Calvin, you've said it, it's Calvin Harris treatment.
I had a thought. So do you remember when the album first dropped and you listened to the songs that were about Travis Kelce and my immediate reaction, I think most people's reaction was that like Travis is not a very good muse. I take it back because there is something in So High School that like it's drugs. Like I find myself listening to So High School on repeat. Like it's like
I love it. I also love the Alchemy too for the same reason.
Yeah. Alchemy's great. So High School I think is better, but it literally puts me in a 1999 rom-com immediately. Like I'm in Can't Hardly Wait and I see Jennifer Love Hewitt and that's like the scene. Like it's so good.
I know.
And no, I know for a fact that in like she's already written the next album because of course like she's been in this whirlwind romance with Travis Kelce and it is 1989 on steroids. It is going to be just like an upbeat pop anthem like about Travis Kelce. I just know it.
It's going to be people's least favorite albums, but I'm prepared for that.
Oh no, it's going to be like Caitlin Bass's favorite.
But to your point, people are going to like get annoying about the lyrics.
Oh yeah, because there's not going to be anything. It's going to be like, there won't be any, it'll be, because Travis can't read.
Yeah.
She's not going to have anything to say that like he can't understand. So.
Yeah. Well, I think too, like to your point about Travis not being a good muse, like that's kind of it, you know, like the problem is, it's not a problem. Obviously it's a good thing, but like, the art comes out of the dark moments. Like when you are truly happy, like you don't really get a lot. Like the best, I love the Lover album. And a big reason I love it is because it came out the year that Adam and I got married. Yeah. And so like, it really like Cruel Summer is like our favorite song. But really when I look at my favorite songs on that album, they are the ones that are about the anxiety about the relationship, not the relationship itself.
Totally.
And that's like, it's just unfortunately happiness is not a good muse. And I don't know what that is. Like, I don't know what that is.
But So High School is very good.
I think
that's the song that she wrote that she was like, I'm probably going to expand on this and make an entire album on it and make it really upbeat because it is a pretty upbeat song. And I think she's going to say like, this is what's coming next.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see. Oh my gosh.
We're so like ungrateful. We just got like 31 songs.
We're already talking about the next album.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you enjoyed what you heard. And if you did, I encourage you to like and subscribe. Maybe leave a little review. Perhaps you could even share the episode with your friend. We'd like to give a special thank you to Jack McCarthy for producing our music and recording our intro. You can find more information about his work at the link in our episode description. We'll see you next time on Look What She Made Us Do.